Joseph Staten, who is the writer and creative director of Halo 3 ODST. First off, congratulations on the launch.
Thanks very much.
And so what is the meta story in Halo 3 ODST?
Well, yeah, in Halo games, you often just see the war part of the story, sort of one giant industrial complex smashing against another giant industrial complex that happens to be alien. So you just see the war. You never really get the civilian side of the story. Our hope with the meta story, Sadie's story, was to tell the civilian side of the conflict.
Now, a lot of the developers in ODST say that was their favorite game to develop, and you sort of, you know, been on the team. Why are they saying that about ODST compared to the other Halo games?
Well, I think, you know, I've been working on Halo games for a little more than 10 years. A lot of the core people on the team have been working on, you know, all the games as long as I have. And with every Halo game that starred the Master Chief, I think we just felt in some ways we were telling a very similar story. The Master Chief was going up against the same big galactic space opera scale problems, and we often lost the human side of the conflict. And for us, ODST was a way to go back to the roots of the story, just in terms of the characters, but also for the gameplay, really distill it down to, you know, the essential things that made Halo what it is. So kind of a back-to-basics approach, which I think for veterans it was really refreshing.
But now, ODST wasn't always planned, was it?
No.
Okay, so how did it...
It was an unplanned pregnancy.
Exactly. The birth of ODST was a
right.
mistake. So how did it come about? How did that happen? I mean, how does all of a sudden it goes, hey, was it started as just like an expansion, and then it just became a lot bigger?
Right. Well, the great thing we had a core group of creative guys that were the same people working on Peter Jackson's Halo Chronicles project. And when that sort of went by the wayside, we had this team of, you know, about five, six guys who were really invested in working with each other, really veteran members of the studio. And we're kind of a team looking for a project to do for about a year. And rather than just fold those guys into the, you know, the Reach team or to move on to something else, we decided we've got a year. Let's just spend a month figuring out what a cool story would be. And after we, you know, sat in a conference room for a month, we figured out that we had something pretty cool.
Now, I heard the team that did ODST was smaller than on Halo 3. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, by far. I mean, in the end, you know, it really was a pretty much a whole studio effort. Everybody at Bungie was there contributing in some capacity. But the actual core team was, I mean, maybe half as big. It was around 30 or 40 core guys, which is much smaller than Halo 3.
So from just a development perspective, how is that different? I mean, now you have half the people, and people are expecting something great.
Right.
Pressure?
Yeah, I think what we learned is you have to kill your children a lot earlier. I mean, game development really is all about sort of killing the things you love, figuring out what to cut, what damage it's going to do to the game. So with a group of guys that was that experienced and with such a limited schedule, I think we just made the harder decisions up front. And honestly, I think that resulted in a better game. Rather than biting off more than we could chew, we just were smart up front, cut what needed to be cut, created a really streamlined experience. The interesting thing about that was we actually maybe cut a little bit too aggressively. We didn't realize the savings we were going to get from working in the engine, and we ended up adding more things over time. But I got to tell you, the experience of development, which is one of adding things over time rather than cutting things, is a really great position to be in.
So is that, I would think as a developer, you do have all these different babies that you do want to keep in.
Mm-hmm.
How do you actually make the cut? Like, who makes that decision of like, you know, this can't be in the game, we have to sacrifice this child so that this one will survive.
Right. I think you will soon be interviewing Curtis Creamer, the producer of the project, whose nickname was the Cut Master. Not because he was cutting things, but because, I mean, I think it really is a lot to do with really great production. Curtis led that effort and helping the more, you know, creative guys on the team really look hard at the decisions they were making. So, again, these cuts weren't things which were made sort of for dramatic crisis reasons. We really were smart up front and really tried to be responsible about the time that we had and what we wanted to do. So it really was sort of a collaborative effort at cutting and adding, which is nice.
And what did you learn? So you had a lot more time with the Xbox 360 than you did with Halo 3.
Yep.
What did
yep.
you learn about just what you could suck out of the system, I guess, so to speak?
Well, I think we realized just what a really flexible engine the Bungie engineers had put together. And it really took a lot, not a lot of tinkering to make the small adjustments that we wanted to for gameplay, new systems, but also just graphically. To be honest, I mean, we had everything we needed from day one. The only things we were adding were specific improvements we wanted for ODST.
So is this the same engine, or is there any improvements made to the engine that we saw in Halo 3?
Well, the great thing about the engine that Bungie has created is it's the same engine that we've had since we were developing Halo on the Mac 10 years ago. I mean, we constantly iterated on it and developed it over time, added new pieces, but it's really the Halo engine that's existed for a decade, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time.
Okay, and let's talk about Firefight. I was outside interviewing everybody that was in line, and
all
anybody wanted to talk about was Firefight. Mm-hmm. What is Firefight?
So Firefight, in the simplest description, is this great cooperative game mode that exists between the cooperative campaign and the competitive multiplayer. So in Firefight, it's a cooperative game. You're playing with your friends against waves of Covenant enemies. So it works a lot like all sorts. Lots of games have had survival modes, that type of thing, where you're fighting the AI cooperatively. The stuff that makes Firefight unique and interesting is, well, one, it's Halo, so you have access to the Halo sandbox, all the vehicles, that sort of stuff. And it's got this really cool mechanic of skull difficulty multipliers. So every wave of enemies that you get is always going to be different depending on the kind of enemies. They're always random. And then the skull, this difficulty modifier that we turn on for that particular round, particular wave.
So the better that you... Is it like an AI? The better you do, the harder your enemies come at you?
Well, or? The skulls are always they always turn on and off in a set pattern. So you can kind of anticipate when the enemies are going to, say, throw a lot more grenades than usual or evade your attacks a lot more efficiently. But what you can predict in Firefight, which really sets it apart from other modes like this, is the enemies are always random. You never know what's going to come out of the troop transports, what's going to assault you, what's going to roll you back up the hill. So you have to, you can't really plan ahead for every single fight that you're going to get wrapped up in, which, you know, is really a great part about Halo. You always have choices, you always have to adapt, so it really fits in that style of gameplay.
So I got to ask you before you go, what is your single favorite element of this game?
My single favorite element of the game, I would say I give you two answers. My first answer is this is absolutely the game I'm proudest of. In all the Halo games I've worked on, just the team dynamic was great, everybody worked hard, it was a really wonderful development experience. Second, I think I'm most proud of the story, not just because I was, you know, mainly responsible for it, but I think it really is the tightest story we've been able to craft. And like you said, it's got this really interesting meta story on top of it, which is a totally new thing for us and was really challenging, but I'm really proud of the way it turned out.
Thanks for the time.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
It's Joseph. Frank O'Connor. Frank, thanks for sitting down with me. I appreciate
Good seeing
it.
You.
Now, you work for 343 Industries now.
I do.
Explain what that has to do with Bungie and what that has to do with Microsoft.
So we're obviously part of Microsoft. It's kind of a continuation of the group that was publishing the Halo games before. And I actually used to work for Bungie, and I came over to join Microsoft. And we're in charge of, as I said, publishing the Bungie Halo games. And steering the franchise generally, things like the Marvel series of comic books. We have a series of New York Times best-selling novels through Tor, and you know, The Fall of Reach was published under that agreement. And we're just making sure that we're stewarding the franchise in the right directions, and of course, working with directly with Bungie to do that.
And now, when I'm hearing your name, Frank O'Connor, I'm hearing Waypoint.
Yes.
What is Waypoint?
Waypoint is going to be a Halo experience that you experience through your Xbox 360 on Xbox Live. You'll go to your dashboard, you'll see Waypoint there, launch it, and it's all sorts of things. It's a community portal. It is a place where you can go get a deeper look at the Halo fiction and the canon. For example, you can go take a look at the UNSC Pelican or the police variant of the Pelican that's featured in ODST in detail with diagrams and explanations. Or you can go and watch video content, podcasts, all sorts of things. It's a complete soup to nuts Halo experience.
So does anything about the games that I play influence what I get to see on my Halo channel?
Yes, that's the other interesting part is this is the first time we've had the chance to amalgamate the entire Halo franchise under one roof, and all of the things that you do in Halo games that talk to Xbox Live, so I would use Halo 3, Halo ODST, Halo Wars as examples, and obviously Halo Reach in the future, these will all contribute to a Halo career that you have within Waypoint. And it's kind of a metagame in itself in that you start collecting achievements and trophies and medals for things that you've done that are cross-pollinated between the different Halo games.
When you talk about being a writer and loving story, and I think the Halo and Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling says she knew how the story was going to end.
Yes.
When she wrote the first one. Do you know how Master Chief will meet his final end, or do you guys already know how this is going to end and you just don't tell anybody?
So I don't think we know how it's going to end, but I think we've been very, very careful to have a plan. And I could pretty much tell you the story for about 6 years out from this point on in terms of our chronological time. But beyond that is an evolving universe. But I think it's very important that you know what direction you're going in. Otherwise, you kind of base everything that you do on your last success and react to that rather than following what you think is the logical, correct emotional arc for the characters and the events.
And now that we have Halo and Master Chief, and then we have ODST, which is an expansion that goes in a slightly different direction, are there any other, you mentioned Cortana, characters that you see becoming their own series, becoming their own franchise, their own game?
Well, the ODSTs is a perfect example of where that can work. These guys, they feel very real compared to the Master Chief, who is almost a superhero. And we have a lot of characters like that in the universe, and a lot of events But for me, one thing that's just as exciting as revisiting old characters is inventing new ones. We have the entire breadth of human civilization in the 26th century scattered across 100 different worlds. And, of course, the Covenant, a huge alien civilization and ancient mysteries. And those are the areas that we like to explore. And we're doing that next year with a series of novels written by Greg Bear that's set in the Forerunner universe. So a real departure for us as far as canon is concerned.
And is 343 Industries working on anything besides Halo 3 ODST that you can talk about or tease us about?
Tonight, actually, at the launch event, we're going to debut an episode of a seven-episode anime anthology called Halo Legends. The one we're showing tonight is called Babysitter, and appropriately enough, it stars a couple of the ODSTs from Halo 3 ODST. But the other six episodes deal with completely different subject matter. We have everything from pre-Covenant elites to a story featuring Master Chief and some other famous Spartans that are popular in the Halo fiction.
And do you have a favorite Halo character?
I don't know. I think I kind of like, as much as anything else, I like Halo's environments and its equipment and vehicles. I mean, Warthog to me has every bit as much character as any of the people in Halo, because you become kind of bonded with it through gameplay. So I love the Warthog, but it's not really a character. I like Guilty Spark. I like Cortana. Everyone likes Johnson.
I think the Warthog has feelings.
Yeah, I think the Warthog does have feelings, and it's beautifully sprung.
It is. And then finally, you know, we see things like Alien versus Predator. Do you ever see, like, Halo Universe versus, like, Gears of War or anything like that?
No, but every now and then we'll make an exception to that. We already did it with Dead or Alive, yeah. And you can play as a Spartan in that game. So there's moments where it makes perfect sense, and we can have a little bit of fun with it. One of the anime episodes tonight is completely off canon and very, very strange, but deliberately so.
Cool. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate
it. Nice to see you.
Take care.